Alright guys, welcome to Truth Hurts Radio here on the Republic Broadcasting Network, republicbroadcasting.org. This is your host Charles Giuliani. Great show lined up today, guys. Got a really interesting guest, high profile guest. Robert Young Pelton is going to be joining us. He's the author of Licensed to Kill. Actually, he's written several books, but this is the one he'll be talking about today. It's about Blackwater. This guy, I didn't realize, but he's had firsthand experience. He's been over there in Afghanistan. He's been over there in Iraq, and he's seen these guys and how they operate firsthand. So he'll be sharing his own personal experience with us as well as his research on this subject. So you don't want to miss that. He'll be coming up right after the break. Before that, let me go over a few quick announcements here. I've mentioned this before, guys. If you've been looking into getting solar power in your home, finally, there's an affordable solar out there for you. You can take back your power, you can produce your own energy, and keep the savings. What's great about this is there's no rate increase, no equipment to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries. Sound good? You better believe it. So just go visit www.join-the-solution.com. Again, the website is join-the-solution.com, or you can dial in at their toll-free number, 866-276-3975. Again, that's 866-276-3975. Check it out, guys. Nowadays, with oil and gas heating prices being what they are, you'd be crazy not to look into this. It's just outrageous. We're now paying, well, you know, three times what we were before the Iraq War. You know, oil was about $33 or so a barrel. Now it's up $100 a barrel, and it's destined to go higher. So solar is the way to go. So give these guys, give them a call and check them out. Anyway, if anybody is interested in reading any of my books, Piercing the Fog of 9/11, The New World Disorder, my latest one, An Alternative View of the Distant Past, I talk in there, amongst other things, about you know, ancient technology. I did a show last week on air flight and atomic warfare in the distant past. The evidence of that is shockingly overwhelming. It's amazing that this stuff is never addressed. You can get a PhD in archaeology or ancient history or whatever, and you know, they won't even mention this stuff as a curious side note. But yet you read these ancient texts, you look at even some physical evidence that supports this, and you just wonder, what's going on here? Why are they suppressing this? Why are they not mentioning it? It's obvious. They don't want you to know this. There's a whole lot of things they don't want you to know. So, you know, that's covered in there, along with a whole lot of bizarre mysteries from the distant past. And if you want to get any of these books, you can go to just type in lulu.com, www.lulu.com. And when you're there, just type my name in, Charles Giuliani, G-I-U-L-I-A-N-I, and you'll see all the books I've got there available. You know, I've never mentioned this before. I've been meaning to. So before I forget, let me mention it now. If anybody has seen any books on Lulu of mine that look appealing, but, you know, for whatever reason you don't have the cash, well, whatever reason. The reason is this economy is a joke. You know, if money is a factor for you and you're not able to, you know, purchase any of those books, but you still want to read them, just email me at truthhurtsradio@aol.com. Tell me which book you want, and I can just send it to you as an attachment file. Again, that's Truth Hurts, H-E-R-T-Z, Truth Hurts Radio at AOL.com, and I'll be happy to send any of those titles to you. All right, guys, stick with us. We'll be right back. Very interesting guest talking about Blackwater. You don't want to miss this.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our Renewable Energy Solar Program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our Renewable Energy Solar System converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. It is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
Attention RBN listeners who have trouble sleeping. If you have tried everything and still have serious problems getting a good night's sleep, then this message is going to be the single most important one you'll ever hear. And here's why. 77 RBN listeners are needed immediately to test a new, alternative method of falling asleep fast. And the best part is, this new sleep system produces dramatic results when everything else has failed, including prescription sleeping pills. You see, it works in a whole new way, utilizing special sleep frequencies to almost command your brain to fall asleep fast. And it's easy to use. Yet, because the rules governing medicine in the U.S., no health or healing claims can be made for the sleep system. However, it's still legal to own this new high-speed sleep generator, and 77 RBN listeners are invited to use this system first, before the general public. So, if you're really having trouble falling asleep, simply go to www.highspeedsleep.com. That's highspeedsleep.com, or call 877-327-0365 and tell the operator you listen to RBN. Again, that's 877-327-0365.
Gasoline prices are out of control. Are you tired of giving your hard-earned dollars to the major oil companies? Did you know that the oil companies have developed special products to increase mileage in their own vehicles? Very few customers even know such products exist. SFR has obtained this technology that is backed by testing the oil companies have run, yet they don't want you to know about them. This product is made right here in the United States and is not a typical gas treatment found at your local store. SFR lasts up to 6 months. SFR works so well that it even improves mileage on new cars. SFR recently ran this ad, and the response from all over the U.S. was so incredibly strong that we're allowing listeners to receive a free bottle when one is purchased at our regular price of $9.99. If you're not completely delighted with the savings, we'll refund the purchase price and shipping. Share the oil company's secret and get SFR now. Call 888-USE-SFR-1. That's 888-873-7371 today.
All right, guys. Welcome back to Truth Hurts Radio. I'm your host, Charles Giuliani. And we do have our guest on the line, Mr. Robert Young Pelton, author of, well, amongst other things, Licensed to Kill, a book that documents what's going on with Blackwater, this quite shocking and downright scandalous little happy relationship that's going on between the Pentagon and this private mercenary company, really, is what it is. So with no further ado, let's go to our guest, Mr. Robert Pelton. Welcome to the show, Robert.
Hi, good afternoon.
Yeah, great to have you.
Well, thank you very much.
You know, this book is very timely. It involves a subject that, you know, a lot of Americans, unfortunately, are just not aware of. A lot of people don't realize what's been going on here. This is something new in the American experience, isn't it?
Well, yeah, and the funny thing is I started writing this book 4 years ago and spent 3 years on the ground with a number of security companies and mercenary outfits, and it didn't really hit the radar until the Fallujah killings, and then people started asking themselves, "What, you know, why were civilians in a place like Fallujah?" At best, back in 2004, and then all of a sudden, with the shooting last September, I think people suddenly said, "Whoa, wait a second, what's going on there?" So it's something that's unique in terms of how it's affected our foreign policy, but I think it's unique that Americans have never expected hired guns to do our bidding in things as important in the global war on terror.
Well, I mean, it turns out, correct me if I'm wrong, but aren't they actually hiring people that aren't even Americans to begin with? I mean, foreign mercenary groups?
Yeah, now you have to be careful with the word mercenary, because most people think of a mercenary as a guy that, you know, chews a stogie and wears a beret and overthrows African countries. And, you know, a mercenary technically is someone who fights wars for other countries. So if you're a U.S. citizen and you work under a U.S. contract in Iraq, you're not a mercenary, you're a security contractor. But what they're doing is they're hiring people from third world countries and places like Colombia, Chile, El Salvador, Uganda, Namibia. And those people are mercenaries because they are now involved in a war that's not approved by their own government, and they're not subject to any kind of legal oversight, and they're definitely not U.S. citizens, so they're not subject to most of our laws. So, yeah, that does change the color of the job quite a bit.
I mean, that alone is cause for concern, that our tax dollars are being used to pay people to fight our wars that don't share our ideas, our ideology, our you know, aspirations.
Well,
what business?
I mean, here's the dilemma. Right now, if you said, I got to get a load of porta-potties from Kuwait to Baghdad, normally you would either have the U.S. military provide security for that, or you would hire a private company to do that. Now, if you hire the U.S. military, that's going to be a very expensive endeavor, but you know it's going to get done right. If you hire a private company, well, their responsibility is not to the U.S. taxpayers, it's to their company, and it's to make a profit. So why would they pay a guy American wages when they can hire somebody from Nepal or another country and pay them a tenth of those wages? And so what you're seeing is the clash of ideology, you know, morality, using U.S. troops to fight for our interests, and commerciality, where people are there to make a buck.
Right. And so this is yet again another example of a happy little, lack of a better term, wouldn't you call this fascism? Big money, big business in bed with big government and,
well,
profiteering?
My personal opinion is that a country should not make, should not go into things that it cannot back up with its citizens behind it. And we've all seen the results of unpopular wars. What we've done in this particular case is we've gone to the private sector, which initially was a good idea. We actually tapped into many veterans who had years of training and experience and put them in the field because they had actually better skill sets than some of our younger military folks. And then when we ran out of those people, we then got into, well, who you got? And I think this is where the problem started, is that once we started commercializing warfare, it then lost all sort of semblance to why we initially started this war.
Do you see this as an attempt maybe to divert their way around a draft where they can still get a lot of people to fight these wars for them and get the American public to fund it, but yet they won't complain as bad because they're not being compulsory?
Well, that's the nail right on the head, but it actually comes from the dirty wars in the 60s. And in my book, you know, I spend a lot of time with guys like Billy Waugh, who's the world's oldest contractor. He's a guy that tried to sign up to fight in World War II, if you can believe it. And he tells readers the stories of the secret war in Laos and Cambodia, where we hired contractors to avoid scrutiny by taxpayers. You all remember, you know, Air America and Pope Resnick, some of the famous civilian contractors who later on...
That was actually a CIA front, Air America.
Exactly. And then later on, when they were investigated by Congress and the Church Pike report was written, we said, well, we can't do that. We cannot conduct foreign policy under the guise of doing business, and, you know, for a variety of reasons, but most of all is because the CIA wanted to keep these people out of the public eye. And if somebody did get caught, and you remember Gene Hassenfuss, who was caught kicking cargo out of a door in Nicaragua, we can pretend like we don't know who this guy is. He's working for some corporation. We never heard of him. So that
right.
mindset actually leaked into the private contracting business after 9/11.
Wow. Yeah, this is definitely a frightening trend. Now, I didn't realize, I was just reading your bio, I didn't know that you actually were in Afghanistan and Iraq as well, right?
Oh, yeah, I've been to over 36 wars, and I was there for the beginning of the war on terror in Afghanistan with a special forces team that fought on horseback. I was in Iraq during the first part of the war, and then also I've been there many times since. But my claim to fame in this book is I spent a month with Blackwater running Airport Road, which at that time was the most dangerous run they had. And the type of books I write are really sort of from the ground up. I don't have any pretensions to academic analysis. You know, I take people right into the front of things with the blood splattered on them and the gunshots going off. So I think I give these people their respect, but I also raise a lot of important questions about you know, is what they're doing good for America?
Yeah, definite good question there to ask. Now, 36 wars. I mean, you go back, what, you must have been in Nam and...
No, not that old. I'm 52. I started about 20 years ago. I used to be in marketing, and I wrote a book called The World's Most Dangerous Places, which is essentially a war guide to war zones, or a travel guide to war zones. And my specialty was going in, meeting with terrorist or insurgent groups. And I think the thing people might remember me for is I did that interview with John Walker Lind in Afghanistan when I was in the Battle of Kalajangi and sort of introduced America and the world to the first Taliban, who also happened to be an American, who was on the record.
Wow. Well, technically, you could have been. No, I guess you couldn't have been. You couldn't have been in Nam.
I was only in 1972. I think I was 22. But I think they wound things down around 75. So.
Yeah, I guess you could have, but you wouldn't have been for very. They would have just barely caught you.
Well, my specialty is never wars that journalists go to. My specialty was always the dirty wars like Chechnya, Algeria, southern Philippines, places where you don't see a lot of coverage and people really don't go there. And I went to see the Taliban in 1995 to set up some interviews with a friend of mine who worked for CNN. So that was really my specialty, was finding people that people couldn't find and doing interviews.
So, yeah, I understand you were actually involved in the hunt for bin Laden, too, huh?
Yeah, the book actually starts off with a kind of a cool story about what it's like to be out on the frontier there between Pakistan and Afghanistan with contractors looking for bin Laden and what it's like to fight the war out there and how confusing it is. And I've also done some other stuff along the, you know, inside Pakistan and Afghanistan in the hunt for bin Laden. But the last time I was there looking for him was, I think, 04, and I located Zawahiri and also Mullah Omar, who was in Quetta. Zawahiri was moving up and down the tribal areas, paying the chieftains off to shelter a number of foreign fighters there. But it gives you some perspective on how far-ranging contractors are. I mean, the privatized security, you know, is a common event in most of the world, and Americans are just shocked to find out that we're actually using them to carry out our work.
Do you have any idea on, like, the percentage, you know, how many there are as compared to how many actual American soldiers are fighting, like, for example, in Iraq right now? I mean, do you have any idea? Is it a large percentage?
No, I can tell you exactly. There's the last official count, there was over 200,000 contractors, and I'm not saying security contractors. I mean people that clean out toilets, serve food, guard gates. Of those, about 75,000 are security contractors, and half of those are Iraqis. And there's, at any given time, there's about 160,000, you know, troops in Iraq. So there's actually more contractors, which is quite normal, than there are troops.
Wow. Would you say the same for Afghanistan?
Afghanistan's a little different. Most American operations are centered in Bagram, and obviously there's support facilities there, but the security industry is a little different there. The government's actually cracking down on it because a lot of the warlords and criminal leaders just start security companies that allows them to move drugs and, you know, operate. So it's a lot different feel in Afghanistan. But, yes, there's quite a few security contractors in Afghanistan, but not as many percentage-wise.
Yeah. Right, right.
But you have to understand that the U.S. Army needs and uses contractors because they can't really move without them. I mean, you know, we used to have expeditionary units that could go out in the field. But these days, I don't know if you've been to Iraq or Afghanistan, if you want a good meal, you go into these DFACs or dining centers, and what you'll see is this spectacular layout of food, all served by smiling Filipinos. And when you go out to look at the facilities, they're all guarded by Nepalese Gurkhas. It's an entrenched part of the American way of doing warfare now.
And these Gurkhas are themselves on Blackwater's payroll?
No, there's a number of companies. They work for Global, but, you know, there's about 120 to 160 security companies operating in Iraq. Blackwater is just probably the most well-known because they do the State Department security there.
Those are some scary people, those Gurkhas, I hear. Anyway, we got to go to a short break, folks. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
Introducing the new Blueprint Water Unit. This one-of-a-kind water technology uses natural frequencies to clean harmful toxins from your drinking water. We start with one of the best four-stage reverse osmosis systems. Then we retrofit the Blueprint water system with twin vortices. This primary technology is designed to clear harmful water memory. We then imprint Blueprint frequencies harmonic to the human body. This is the only known living water recreated by live essence infusion. According to reports from users, the water helps balance the body's internal pH. Others have said the water has helped promote weight loss through detoxification. This water is so good, your body begins to crave its healthy input. For more information, call Natural Solution toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that's 866-885-6625.
Okay, guys, welcome back to Truth Hurts Radio. It's your host, Charles Giuliani. We're joined today by Robert Young Pelton, author of License to Kill, talking about Blackwater, the Pentagon contracting with this and other private corporations, and this not-so-wholesome implications of this. I suppose we should go into a little bit of history of, you know, this company, how it got started, who started it, where it got started. You know, it is an American company, quote unquote.
Yeah,
American-based, anyway.
It's an unusual company because it's the sole proprietorship. It's owned by one man, Eric Prince, and Eric Prince is the son of a very famous and well-known auto parts manufacturer who became a lobbyist for right-wing causes towards the end of his life, and Eric became sort of the person who benefited by the $1.3 billion his company sold for. Eric was a Navy SEAL, and he very quickly learned that there was a need for training facilities in the military. And most people don't realize that most training facilities on military bases are, there's a shortage of them, and if you could provide something outside that was easy to set up and that was reasonable in cost, you'd have a business. So he set up Blackwater, which was initially around 6,000 acres in North Carolina, the north east corner there. And after 9/11, he got this idea that since he knew all these folks from the SEALs and his people knew people, and he was friendly in the areas of the CIA and the Pentagon, that he'd go sell his wares. And he was given a $5.4 million no-bid contract to guard the CIA in Afghanistan with about 12 people. And it was an urgent and compelling contract put out by Buzzy Krongard, simply because they needed people. They were very short on manpower after 9/11.
Is that just a name?
And, the U.S. government was actually tapped out, the CIA particularly. They started hiring contractors almost within a week after the attacks on the World Trade Center because they simply didn't have enough case officers or people experienced in the area of Afghanistan. Matter of fact, the guy that led the CIA operation in Afghanistan was in a retirement program, a guy named Gary Schroen, and he was dragged back out of retirement to run that whole program. But the point was that there are plenty of retired people that were sitting around that wanted to get into the fight, so Eric provided 12 of those guys, and they provided security for a place called Shkin and also the Ariana Hotel in Kabul. And then he realized that this was probably going to be the most lucrative part of his business, so he aggressively started picking up what they call PSD or personal security detail type business. Until today, you know, he makes over about $1 billion in contracts, of which the bulk of it comes from guarding the State Department and the CIA in places like Iraq, Afghanistan, and Pakistan.
Well, he was just in the right place at the right time, knew the right people, didn't he?
Yeah, and the thing is that I think most people don't realize is that the motivation is correct. I mean, the CIA does need security when it sets up meetings and when it has facilities. And, you know, there was enough time and enough facilities to train people and get them vetted and into the field in time. So it started off as being a very good idea. And then what happened is that this culture, which started under Bremer, of essentially being warlords traveling around the country with a, you know, an armed convoy of men and shooting at things and sort of disregarding life and limb and safety of people, carried over far too long until last September when you saw the results of, you know, one State Department official going to a meeting and needing three different convoys of armed men and armored vehicles and the amount of mayhem and bloodshed that was caused because of that. And then what's more surprising that most people probably don't realize is how quickly the State Department tried to distance themselves from the very people that they had employed and trained and told what to do. So Blackwater basically was thrown under a bus by Condi Rice, even though the State Department's security people tell Blackwater exactly what to do, what weapons to use, when to fire, you know, how to conduct themselves in Iraq.
Why do you suppose that is?
Well, I think it's why contractors are hired. It's like having a security guard outside your house that beats somebody up who's trying to get in, and you say, "Whoa, that guy was terrible. That guy's fired. He's out of here." And then people don't blame you for what happened, even though you told that guy, "Don't forget to beat up anybody that tries to get in my house."
Right.
You know, what will happen is that the State Department will simply say they're firing Blackwater and hire the exact same people under another contract through another company. And that's one of the scary things about the whole contracting business, is that it's not really companies, it's individuals who work for a number of companies. And if you remember last year, 2 years ago, there was a murder in the Green Zone in which a Blackwater employee gunned down one of the bodyguards of the Iraqi vice president. And instead of being charged or arrested, he was simply sent out of the country, and within months he was working in Kuwait as a security contractor again. And to this date, no charges have been filed. Now, that's a singular incident. I mean, there's been thousands of contractors there, and that doesn't mean they're all criminals. What it means is that there's absolute proof that they get away with murder. And the problem that creates is we're over in Iraq trying to build or create a positive society, and it doesn't bode us well when the people we use are basically thugs that get away with murder.
Yeah, I mean, this is like the mafia hiring a hitman or something to knock off, you know? I mean, really, what's the difference?
Well, the difference is that these people are vets, you know? They're cops, they're soldiers, they're not bad people, they're good people, and they're hired because they're good people, and they have skills. The problem is when you create an environment in which people can do anything they want, you know, the
1%... Right, but how about when they're hiring foreigners, though? I mean, they're hiring people that aren't even Americans to do this. This
well,
is where
you're right. You bring up a much better point. I mean, we're talking about Americans having...
Yeah, let's talk about that when we get back. We've got to go to another break. Right. Stick with us, folks. Be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Attention RBN listeners who suffer from excruciating joint pain. If you are interested in suppressed but amazingly effective traditional arthritis remedies, this will be the single most important message you will ever hear. Here's why. Recently, a scientist who specializes in ancient medicine has discovered a 3,000-year-old arthritis remedy that has been proven in studies to not only relieve joint pain and inflammation, but also to rebuild damaged cartilage as well. And the amazing thing is just how fast it works. In fact, relief for me came in less than a week. Now, because of the rules governing nutritional supplements in this country, no health or healing claims can be made for this ancient remedy. However, it is still legal to own it, and right now a small amount is available to our listeners. Keep in mind, shipments get filled on a first-come, first-served basis, so it's important that you take immediate action by going to www.321relief.com. And the best part? RBN listeners pay absolutely nothing today. Simply go to 321relief.com. That's www.321relief.com, or call 815-259-4552. For details.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials. Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle.
For some time now, you've listened to our corny DidYouRobBillGates.com ads. So let's get serious for a moment. DidYouRobBillGates.com can really show you how to make money with your own home-based business and will give you the ability to quit your job, pay off debt, or how about buying some silver and gold for the future or retirement? What about just being around more for your family? DidYouRobBillGates.com can show you how to increase your cash flow so you can get the things in life you want. What if all it took was answering the phone? Could you do that? When the cash flow increases, it's amazing what you can do. It's about independence and freedom. DidYouRobBillGates.com can show you how. Don't wait any longer. Go to DidYouRobBillGates.com. That's DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Okay, guys, welcome back to Truth Hurts Radio. Our guest today is Robert Young Pelton, author of License to Kill. Delves into Blackwater and the privatization here, the contracting going on between the Pentagon and these mercenary companies, if you will. Did you have any website, by the way, that you wanted to plug? I know to get your book, you can pretty much go anywhere. You can go to Amazon.
You can get the book on Amazon, but I have a website called comebackalive.com, which is you can see some of the videos I do and the books I write.
Excellent. Okay, folks, that's comebackalive.com. Yeah, before the break, you know, we were talking about, do you see that as the biggest problem, or there's probably a whole lot of big problems, but I certainly see that as a big problem, this hiring out of foreigners to do our fighting for us using our tax dollars.
The Church Pike Commission, remember I mentioned when the CIA got into trouble for using essentially private contractors and proxy arms, one of the things that they pointed out is that, you know, when we do foreign policy by covert means, what we do is we send a bunch of SF guys and CIA paramilitaries and contractors, and we then go create mercenary armies. And then those mercenary armies are used to overthrow governments or to defend our interests. And we did that basically in Afghanistan in the 80s. And that essentially spawned the Taliban and the whole problems with bin Laden and al-Qaeda. And, yeah, and most people that have more than 20 years experience in this area will tell you that, yeah, you can set up a militia today, but what's that militia going to be doing 5-10 years from now? So when you're creating essentially a new army of militias, and these are people that are brought from countries like Chile. For example, when I was doing the runs with Blackwater, the guys we went out with used to be Pinochet's bodyguards. Now, that's not saying they're not bad soldiers or whatever. It just means that if that guy applied for a job in the States as a security guard, people would fall over dead. Because the idea of hiring former dictator's bodyguard would floor people. But yet they can work in Iraq just fine. You know, when you talk to people from Colombia or from El Salvador, you know, people that used to be on death squads and they're working as security guards, you just, I mean, South Africans, my God, the entire sort of population of the old mercenary armies like Executive Outcomes are all working in private security now.
So a double standard problem there.
Right. So then you have this problem of, okay, the U.S. is now employing and encouraging and training and arming the very same people that we spent the last 20 years fighting and disarming and putting in jail. So,
yeah, what's wrong with that picture? Well, you know, I'm sure you've heard of course, they've changed their name now. I forget what they call themselves, WISC. I forget what the acronym is, but it was formerly known as the School of the Americas down in Fort Benning, Georgia.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, you know, that's a very unwholesome, questionable little enterprise there as well.
Well, here's the problem. Those people, those graduates, are working in Iraq and Afghanistan. In other words, the fact that they were taught in the U.S. and speak English and were vetted by the U.S. means that they're actually more employable as security people in Iraq now.
Wow. And, of course, these people are trained in espionage and terrorism tactics. And
yeah, well, remember I said about Afghanistan that the warlords who were told to disarm and, you know, stop shooting at each other immediately started creating security companies. And the funny thing is you'd see these warlords with their militias, their ragtag militias, and now they're all dressed in nice security uniforms. They still got the AK-47s and the armored vehicles, but they're now a legitimate business. So that's the danger we run when we commercialize violence. You know, when it works for us, that's great, but as soon as we leave or stop paying them, what do these people do for a living?
Yeah, exactly. Ooh, it's scary. Now, you know, do you know of any of these guys being used, or have they been used in, say, you know, El Gharib, some of the torture things that were going on?
Well, that's a different aspect of the business, but when you talk about contractors used for interrogation, that's another huge business that used to be run by L3 Communications, and L3 subbed out to people like Khaki and Titan, and what those people do is they hire Arabic-speaking Americans who then work in the prisons and the interrogation facilities, and those were exactly the people that were involved. I'm not saying they were charged, but they were involved in the Abu Ghraib scandal. Once again, that sort of immunity, what they call Order 17, which is essentially a get-out-of-jail card issued by Paul Bremer, has allowed any contractor to do whatever he wants to do and then simply be sent from the country if he gets caught doing something bad.
Now, is that outside the scope of your book? Do you delve into that at all, or is it primarily?
I focus on trigger pullers, and I think a lot of people have done a lot of work on other areas of contracting, like Halliburton and sort of the big fat cats and the interrogation people. But the most dangerous aspect is not someone who's hired as an interpreter. It's when you take the control of violence out of the state control and you put it in the hands of private enterprise. You're essentially creating private militias. And America has a history of combating private militias and keeping the control of force within the state.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the definite shift there, and it's not a wholesome one. It's not a good one.
No, now, it's not good the fact that it's kept away from the oversight of the taxpayers, who's essentially paying their salaries, is a deliberate one. It's part of the Bush administration's way of doing
strategy.
To do something and then pretend like, oh, well, we didn't know what they were doing, or we had no idea what, and all of a sudden later on going, well, okay, fine, we hired them, but we didn't know what they were doing.
Yeah, plausible deniability. Yeah,
right, exactly.
And all the while, of course, big bucks are being paid out. And, you know, everybody's heard the stories about Halliburton getting $60 for a six-pack of Coke. And did you see any of that going?
The interesting thing about my book is I worked very hard to not only explore what was going on in Iraq and Afghanistan and also the history of it, but to take it forward and help readers understand what exactly does occur. And in 2003, there were a group of mercenaries who decided to overthrow a country called Equatorial Guinea. It's a very tiny, oil-rich country in West Africa. And I showed the link between private security companies and the need or idea of overthrowing states. And it was so hilarious that, for example, President Aristide, who ran Haiti for a while, he's a U.S.-backed leader, had a private security company that protected him. And they got into trouble because they were essentially training death squads for Aristide, and Aristide was going to use them to fight a war. So the State Department went in there and shut them down and told them, okay, you better help depose this guy. So they put him on a plane. They put Aristide on a plane. They flew him to Central African Republic. His security crew then went home. One of the guys, a guy named Raymond Archer, was a South African, came off the gig from Central Africa, was having lunch with his ex-wife, got a phone call saying, hey, can you be on a plane in a couple of hours, then got on that plane and was arrested for trying to overthrow Equatorial Guinea. Two owners of a security company in South Africa called Meteor Tactical Systems were in charge of protecting the Swiss embassy. They told their boss that they were going to go off buffalo hunting and also ended up on that same plane being arrested for trying to overthrow a country. So the linkage is there between these guys working in the security business and also working in the insecurity business.
Wow. What would you say is the scariest aspect of this whole thing? Like, you know, there's multiple avenues of this we could explore, but...
I think Katrina was the scariest example because, you know, Blackwater always presents itself as someone who wants to do peacekeeping, who wants to protect the little guy from oppression and, you know, evil things. When Katrina happened, Eric sent down a helicopter that had been working with the Coast Guard training and started to help rescue people, which is a very noble and a very wonderful thing. And then he was told, well, you can't really do that. You can't just fly your helicopter around and just randomly rescue people. But have you got some guys, because we need security? So he had about between 350 and 400 security contractors down there providing security for SBC, who was repairing phone lines, for hotels, for wealthy people who had art collections. And it became very apparent that the private security industry was being used to protect the government against its own people. In other words, one of his better-known gigs was working for FEMA, protecting FEMA employees from being harassed by irate citizens who were demanding help and obviously getting a little worked up about it. So what we see was the almost natural evolution of these private companies, not to protect the little guys, but to protect the government from the little guys.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Well, they had a need, I guess, because what they were doing down there was not in the interest of the people. I'm sure you know there was some crazy fiascos going on down there.
Well, just imagine, you know, if I was a private landowner. Let's say I represented the neighborhood of people, and we all had guns, and we wanted to protect ourselves. Blackwater would be used against us. And that's where all of a sudden you hit the panic switch, because, you know, you've got posse comitatus. You've got all kinds of laws against people forming private armies in the U.S.
Yeah, and there was our tax dollars funding these people,
right?
To basically fire on us, fire on American citizens.
Well, to protect wealthy people from poor people, and that's the age old mm-hmm. way that private security works. If you go to South Africa or anywhere, any developing country, you'll see that rich people use private security to keep poor people from stealing their stuff.
And there goes that word, that F word again, fascism. It just keeps popping up over and over again. What else can you call this, really?
Well, it is fascism if it's linked to political activity. And the fascinating thing to me is that nobody sat down and said, let's create Blackwater and let's send them down to Katrina and let's put them in charge of protecting the government. You know, in other words, the fact that it was a natural evolution is the scary part.
Right, right. Regardless their original intent, here we are.
Right, exactly. So what people have to ask themselves is, if there was a natural disaster in my neighborhood and I needed to protect myself, would a private company be sent in to disarm me? In other words, to prevent me from carrying out my constitutional right to protect myself. And that's, you know, when you look at anarchy and the evolution of private militaries, that's when they come to the forefront.
Now, do you have a chapter in your book talking about Katrina? Because the truth is, we don't know a whole heck of a lot, at least the general public doesn't, about what actually happened there. Bush actually forbade reporters, especially with cameras, from gaining access in there after
My specialty is access, and I interview a number of Blackwater employees who were down there working Katrina and some of the humorous and unusual things that happened. And one of the things that I really wanted to get across is that people that work for private security companies are not bad people. They don't get up in the morning and say, I'm going to do something bad. I'm going to go work for a security company. It's just the opposite. it's how these companies are used by their employers and by government
mm-hmm.
is where it becomes questionable.
Sure.
And
sure.
for example, when Eric Prince says, I want to go into Darfur and I want to provide a peacekeeping solution, I think that's very commendable. But then when you take it three steps further and say, well, how would you do it? Well, he would do it by setting up and training private militias, and he would arm them, and he would give them the authority to shoot with deadly force and so on. So then you get into that whole blowback scenario. And then when you look at the accountability problem and you look at the fact that this is a private enterprise, then that's the kind of thing that needs to be, you know, front and center. When Eric Prince was in front of Congress, literally the politicians didn't know enough about the industry to ask intelligent questions. They were simply worried about, you know, how much did you charge us, and, you know, did you guys do the right thing, and so on and so forth. But none of them actually had the information or the facts.
They're obviously not concerned about the long-term implications of this. They're just looking at the here and now. Oh, this is a great benefit. You know, plausible deniability that we can get from this.
Because, you know, we have a forward-leaning foreign policy, which means we do business in places people don't want us there. And when these politicians travel overseas, guess who protects them when they land in Baghdad?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it was so funny that when the FBI was going to send over a team to investigate the shooting, the September shooting, the FBI team was actually going to be guarded by Blackwater while they investigated Blackwater.
So, what's wrong with that picture?
They didn't do it, but it gets so silly when you think that our politicians and our elected officials can't really move around without the threat of death or violence to them, and the people that protect them are overtasked. I mean, the Secret Service, the DS, the diplomatic security people just don't have the manpower or the ability to provide the security they need.
Well, policies like this are creating the need for them to need more security.
And the problem is that, let's say a Democrat gets voted into office in 2009, private security companies aren't going to go away. If you go to a nuclear facility or you go to an embassy overseas, private security guards are guarding those things. They're not U.S. troops or, you know, we think the Marines guard our embassy. They really don't. It's the private security sector that provides the outer cordon.
Well, I don't think much of anything is going to go away, especially when you look at the candidates for the most part.
Well, and plus you have to look at foreign policy. If your foreign policy depends on privatizing and essentially, you know, third worldizing your security profile, you're kind of like the Roman Empire at its later stages where you had to hire the locals to look after your interest overseas. And it means that we should probably rethink our commitments. You know, we have soldiers in over 100 countries around the world. You know, God knows how many contractors we need to keep those people working and to support the entire infrastructure.
Yeah, we're literally spread too far and too thin. We can't manage our own matters here at home. Our economy, you know, like this even needs to be pointed out, is on the edge of the precipice right now. The dollar is at an all-time low.
One of the solutions is kind of interesting, is that we do have a very robust private sector that services the military and defense industries. If you were to take what we do in Iraq, you know, whether it's building schools or providing security or infrastructure, and do it here, one can imagine the benefits, you know, without the need for all that heavy security. When you do it in Iraq, you're sort of pissing in the sand. You're taking billions of dollars and you're putting into things that might last a couple of months before they get blown up, or funds that are probably, you know, pickpocketed or stolen by corruption over there. So
yeah, but think of the fund. Then they can just generate more cash, rebuild it again. That's all they're looking at. It's just making money. It's not about rebuilding or, you know, restructuring. And I don't see that at all. It's just, you know, if you go back to Vietnam, let's be honest, that war was deliberately dragged on far longer than what it – I mean, we had no business there in the first place. But that war could have been ended, as could have been, you know, Korea, for example.
Well, I think you have to come to terms with the realities that we are going to be in Iraq for the next century. I mean,
sure.
All these politicians are out there talking about how we're pulling the troops out. This is just not going to happen. We have reshifted our center of gravity from Asia and Europe to the Middle East, and we're not leaving. And if you go to the bases in Iraq, those are mini empires within a country. Places like Bagram, we're not just going to hand over Bagram in Afghanistan. We're going to use that as a forward operating base. And the future is going to be privatized warfare, contractors, you know, skirmishes in the Middle East. And it's just not going to go away. So one thing we have to do is come to terms with how we do it. You know, if we're going to use contractors, what are the problems? What are the benefits? If we think we should revert to a draft or use soldiers only. Let's look at the, you know, checks and balances. But we're really not there. We just sort of started after the shooting to look into this industry, and people have forgotten about it already.
So what do you think about the Iran thing? Do you see us going in there?
Well, we're already in Iran. One thing I like to remind people is that, you know, we've been fighting a war with Iran since the 70s.
Sure.
Many of my special forces friends are already training up tribal folks to do exactly what we did in Afghanistan. We've applied all kinds of pressure on Iran, both financially and diplomatically.
And, of course, there's been incursions. Sure. Yeah, they've been sending incursions over there across the border trying to instigate something. They really want a full-scale attack to go on there. All right, guys, another short break. Stick with us. We'll be right back with our guest, Robert Young Pelton. Be right back.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. It is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
The Berkey Light's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Attention RBN listeners who have trouble sleeping. If you have tried everything and still have serious problems getting a good night's sleep, then this message is going to be the single most important one you'll ever hear, and here's why. 77 RBN listeners are needed immediately to test a new, alternative method of falling asleep fast. And the best part is, this new sleep system produces dramatic results when everything else has failed, including prescription sleeping pills. You see, it works in a whole new way, utilizing special sleep frequencies to almost command your brain to fall asleep fast. And it's easy to use. Yet, because the rules governing medicine in the U.S., no health or healing claims can be made for the sleep system. However, it's still legal to own this new high-speed sleep generator, and 77 RBN listeners are invited to use this system first, before the general public. So, if you're really having trouble falling asleep, simply go to www.highspeedsleep.com. That's highspeedsleep.com, or call 877-327-0365 and tell the operator you listen to RBN. Again, that's 877-327-0365.
Okay, welcome back to True Threats Radio. It's your host, Charles Giuliani. We're joined again today by Robert Young Pelton, author of License to Kill, wherein he talks about Blackwater and the dangers. You know, it's already reared its ugly head and shown some dangerous implications, but where is this going? You know, and where do you see this going? I mean, this kind of illicit relationship, you know, as bad as it is, I only see it getting worse. I don't see anything good coming down the line out of this.
Iraq was a unique experience. The first real use of contractors was after 9/11, when the CIA had to recruit a bunch of folks and also sheeped up a bunch of active military to go run their programs over in Afghanistan. But in Iraq, it really became sort of an industry, a multi-billion-dollar industry. Those people are now moving into Africa, and they're doing what they call security and stability operations, which is a nice euphemism. But essentially, they're breaking off into smaller, less visible areas of the world. But they're still making the same amount of money. They're still billing the U.S. government. For example, Eric Prince picked up a $90 million multi-year contract to provide short takeoff and landing capability in Central Asia. And the State Department contract will go on. They'll still be hiring contractors. And so the point is that they're not going away, and they're actually spreading out further. They're rebranding themselves, of course. When they first started their websites, you'd see guys with guns and helmets and sunglasses. And now you see little kids and, you know, kissing babies and flowers and stuff like that. But it's still the same business.
Jeez. Now, on Iran again, coming back to that, do you see us? Well, like you said, we have been in there all along. But, I mean, do you see this thing escalating? I really see them wanting to go in there, drooling over going in there.
Well, here's the problem. I mean, if you look at a map of the world and you draw the colors that America has hegemony in one color, you'll see Iran as a little island. There's something caught between a vice of Afghanistan and Iraq. If you also listen to Dick Cheney and some of the neocons and how they describe Iran, they view Iran as sort of a knife at our throat in terms of how they control movement of oil, which is all BS because most of oil comes from Latin America. But the point is that they're coming up with any excuse they can to demonize Iran. Now,
sure.
Iran actually is a democratic nation. They actually have to have elections, and people have to get a vote. And it is changing slowly. The mullahs, who had a grip on that place, are slowly losing favor. The problem is they make so much damn money from the oil. If you were to somehow reduce Iran's income, I'm sure the mullahs would be tossed out in a second. So there's that balance, what they call frog in a pot strategy, where you keep turning up the heat and turning up the heat, and at some point the frog jumps out. There's a two-pronged approach. One is to use sort of the stick and then back off a little bit and see if internal conditions change enough that people push for either, you know, new elections or a new mindset. But it doesn't actually help for us to make them an island because then they get desperate. They're like Cuba or any other sort of threatened nation. The chances of them doing something very stupid, as you saw yesterday when they were, you know, taunting the U.S. Navy with little fast boats, is very high, and that could lead to...
You know, I got to be honest with you, Robert. I really question as to whether that even happened.
Well, it happens all the time. I mean, the funny thing about border patrols, and I don't know if you've seen this in some of your travels, but people make a big deal out of saying, screw you, you can't get me, and they say, screw you back, and... I mean, I've seen this over and over again in warfare and battles and borders. This incident just happened to hit the radar because George Bush is in the Middle East.
Yeah, he's going, right, the peace talks. I'll tell you what, now, we got another short break here, but I want to pick up with that. This is getting real interesting. Stick with us, folks. We'll be right back.
Since 1988,